Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are and whatever part of the day you're in. Sure do appreciate you joining me and giving me a little bit of your time. Hopefully you get something out of it. Hopefully it gives you something to look forward to, whether it's just passing time or, you know, dishes, cleaning, changing diapers, driving up and down the road, ferrying children from one place to the next, or being ferried if you're one of the children, getting ready for work, conference period, lunch hour. Maybe even working on fence out in the pasture, listening to the truck speakers. I'm glad you're here, obviously. We talked about it on the last podcast. There's a huge range of y'all across the world in a number of different cities and towns, territories, and countries. I'm very grateful you're here. For those of y'all that continue to come back, I'm extremely grateful for that as well. And yeah, I appreciate it. Not a lot on the homestead here. The fruit trees are still budding out. Still nervous about the temperatures dropping again and killing all the buds. Did get a little work out of my eldest in the garden this week, and now I need to go make use of it. I feel like there's a number of instances throughout history where military leaders, when they would win a battle, they really needed the political leaders to take advantage of that. I think there's a couple instances where our founders here in America talked about that. And it's kind of true on a farm. If you make some progress, you really have to take advantage of that. Doing work often leads to more work, if that makes sense. And so when you get something done and you feel so good about it, and then you realize, well, if I'm actually going to take advantage of this, if I'm actually going to make it worthwhile, that means I still have all this other stuff to do. It's kind of disheartening when you think about it, but it's good. God gives us so much to do to keep us busy other than staring at screens. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for all the many things you bless us with to do. Thank you for the opportunities you give us to care for those around us. Help us to see them, Lord, to take advantage of those opportunities. Not for political or financial or societal gain, not to look good in the eyes of others, but to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, to do your will, knowing that we'll be repaid by you in a way better than we can even fathom. Help us, in particular, Lord, help us to care for those that are so unloving or unlovely in the sight of the world, or maybe even in our own eyes. People that are rude or mean, callous, indifferent. Even those that are evil, Lord. How hard that is. Give us wisdom and courage. Help us to do justice as well. To trust in you. And God, my words here, Father, in your son's name we pray. Amen. I wanted to come back to something we talked about on the last podcast real quick. And that is this idea of actually carrying out God's word in action. And there's a little excerpt out of the Patriot or the Founder's Bible, I'm sorry. And I talk about those often if you're new to the podcast. If you don't have a copy, I highly recommend the Founder's Bible by the Wall Builder Organization, the Patriot's Bible, edited by Dr. Richard Lee, and America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations, written by William Federer. Phenomenal resources. I use them often on the podcast. And I would highly recommend a hard copy of each if you can find that in your budget. I know these days that's kind of tough. You can find a lot of them online. So at any rate, there's a little section in here under the title of Pure and Undefiled Religion. And it's the very end of it. And it's talking about how Israel long ago, in one instance, humbled themselves. They really prayed and fasted and they felt like they were doing right, but things just weren't working out. And they asked God, you know, what's going on here? And he looks at them and basically says, look, I'm not looking for sacrifice. I'm not looking for more fasting or prayer. I'm looking for actual action. Actual action. Are you caring for the widow, the orphan, the poor, the naked, the hungry? If you'll do that, then you'll recover very speedily. Light will rise in the darkness and your gloom will become like midday. And that's really it, folks, here in America. We're looking for these people, it feels like, to come in and to swoop in and save us. And that's not to say that we don't need to pay attention to who we elect and what leaders we put in office. It's certainly, if you're not aware of this, not affirmation or condoning of, for example, San Francisco appointing the first non-American citizen to a political post. Right, so that we have somebody that's not even a citizen making decisions in our country for citizens. But we need to focus a lot more in our own lives on these opportunities we're given that we have before us. You know, think about your day today or tomorrow if it's late in the day for you or the last few days or the next few days, but think about the opportunities at work, driving up and down the road, wherever you are. You know, you go into a coffee shop, for example, maybe, or go into any store, and somebody's having a really rough day that's working there. Maybe just a kind word. Take a moment to not rush through that exchange. If there's a kid at school that absolutely nobody seems to like, and all you need to do maybe is just offer to help them do something, carry a book, get them something in the cafeteria, a tray, maybe just say hi and say a few words. Or what about us in our own homes, folks? We're married. Maybe we're not real fond of each other right now. Just to be kind. How hard is that, just to be kind? All these things we do, especially when we don't get repaid. All of that kindness. Every single little thing we do for the least of these, God sees. And there'll come a day when all those little treasures that we've stored up in heaven, God will give back to us. We have so many opportunities in our own lives without looking around or something bigger or better. And folks, I'm so guilty of it myself. We think that if we're not doing more that somehow we're less. I have a feeling that there's going to be a number of people one day, when everything's said and done, that we looked up to as great men and women here on earth. And when we get to heaven, we're finally going to understand the verse about the first will become last and the last will become first. I have a feeling there's a lot of people that are very obscure in this life. The world never knows their name, doesn't think much about them, who are storing up treasures for themselves in heaven at the rapid rate. And we're going to look up one day and we're going to be really shocked at how well they adhered to God's word with so little seeming opportunity from a worldly point of view. Like they didn't have a huge platform. They weren't a superstar singer or professional athlete or whatever else. They were just the random guy or gal down the road doing some mundane job that nobody pays much attention to. But God does. Just a thought. We're going to talk about something that took more than I thought it was going to, but that's okay. I think it's important. And it kind of ties in, you know, how do we know what to do if we don't read the Bible each day? We don't. It's impossible. It's like trying to work on a car and without the owner's manual, and you don't know anything about mechanics, right? Like, I'm not saying you're some superstar mechanic that just naturally, intuitively gets things, but like, if I just pick you up randomly off the street and you don't know anything about car mechanics, and I'm like, hey, I need you to come do this on the car. Here's the owner's manual. And then we throw the owner's manual in the trash, or we put it on the table, right? Maybe this is worse than throwing it on the trash. Maybe this is what God means when he's talking about, I'd rather you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. We put it on the table where we can see it, and then we go and start to work on the car without it. And we get more and more frustrated, and the car is taken apart more and more. And the owner manual, it's still sitting right there on the table. We can see it. We can look over there on the table and we can see it. It's actually collecting little motes, little dust particles. And we glance over our shoulder every once in a while and kind of sneer at it. And we go back to unscrewing the next bolt. You could take that analogy a bunch of different ways, folks, but maybe for some of y'all that are more baking inclined, you know, it's like having a recipe of how to make the perfect sourdough bread or the perfect cake or the perfect brownies. And you just ignore it. And you don't know anything about baking and you just start throwing stuff in there and the cookbook's sitting right there. You might even have it opened to the page. And maybe you're just looking at the pretty picture, but you're not really paying any attention. I have felt more and more over the last, well, it was days that turned into weeks that have now started to turn into months, this conviction that one of the hugest problems that leads to so many of our other problems in America today is that we have stopped reading the Bible on a regular basis. You can talk about it in our individual lives. You can talk about it in marriage. You can talk about it in families. You can talk about it in education, the fact that we don't read the Bible every day in education. From just the wisdom that's there and how life ought to function, right? But also the English, the grammar, the poetry, the history. We're ignoring the greatest. What did Lincoln call it? Oh, I'm going to find that quote real quick. I'm going to find it because it's important and it fits right now. Lincoln said, in regard for the Bible, for this great book, I have this to say. It is the best gift God has given to man. All the good Savior gave to this world was communicated through this book. Andrew Jackson, also one of our presidents, that book, the Bible, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. So our republic's fallen apart. And it's the very best gift ever given to man, says the man that led us through the worst war in the history of our nation. And we don't pay attention to it. We don't read it each day. Guaranteed, if somebody walked up to you and said, hey, if you will read this book an hour every day, I will give you $1,000 a day, $10,000 a day, $100,000 a day. We would read that book. Not only would we read it for that hour, we'd probably read it for extra just to make sure we were getting what we needed to out of it. Maybe I said the analogy wrong. Maybe what I should have said is they give you a book and they said, if you'll read this for an hour every day, you will start to make $1,000 a day, $10,000 a day, $1,000,000 a day. We'd stop everything else we were doing. We'd put it before sports. We'd put it before TV shows. We'd put it before our scrolling our phones. We'd put it before our friends, going hunting, golfing, shopping, phone calls. We'd put it before our kids. We'd put it before our parents. We'd put it before our spouses. We'd put it before food. We would put it through absolutely, put it before absolutely everything else in our lives. And not only would we read it for that hour a day, we'd read it extra just to make sure we were really getting the message and knowing what we had to do to earn that $1,000, $10,000, $100,000 a day. And yet here we have something that's worth more than all the money in the entire world. If you owned the entire world, if suddenly you became emperor of the entire globe and you owned everything and everyone in it, and you get to judgment day and God looks at you and says, well, what do you got? What do you got? And you say, well, I have everything. He's going to look at you and shake his head and go, no. It's not enough. It's not enough. Your soul is worth more. So what I'd like to do over the next couple days is talk to you a little bit about some of our founders and how important they thought reading the Bible was. And you see this by how they helped set up Bible societies early on in America. And this is out of a section out of the Founders Bible. It's a phenomenal section. I'm sure that there are other places to get this information. I know for a fact that America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations and America's Patriot Bible both talk about parts of this. And I know there's other places. I think some of the writing of some of these founding fathers you could get out of the Avalon Project for Yale. But we're going to talk about some of these founding fathers and the Bible societies that they created. And why? Why did they create them? Because they saw the importance of knowing the Bible to our society, to the world as a whole, but particularly to America. The very first one, actually, was Benjamin Rush. And he helped start America's first Bible society. And at any rate, I've pushed it far enough that I don't want to just get into this. So if you get a chance and you buy this Founders Bible, they've got more information in here than I'm going to give you. And it's great information. But when you start to read through this, you're going to notice a couple things. When we start to go through this, you're going to notice how important these people thought the Bible was in reading the Bible regularly. It'll probably help you realize another thing there is how little we read it today, relatively speaking, how little we treasure the Bible compared to what they did. And the other thing is, it just, again, one of the main points of this podcast, it will show the absolute fallacy in the idea that our founders set up this nation in order to be a secular pagan republic like Rome. They set it up based on the gospel of Christ. And I'm out of time. God bless y'all, your families, your marriages. God bless America.